Purge me from my sin, and I shall be pure. Wash me, and I shall be clean indeed. Famous text from Psalm 51. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Are we ready for Ash Wednesday? Are you, or am I, ready for Ash Wednesday? I'll just admit, frankly, I'm not. That said, I'm glad we are here, all around, arrived at Holy Lent. How fast time moves, and how slowly we catch up to its demands. A few here recommended to me that sin be my main theme. So I enter that subject, but I do so with fear and trembling. But we cannot have a perfect understanding about sin, or who is more or less sinful. Our Lord gives warning about that when we hear so much about the hypocrite. The hypocrite needs first to take out the blank from his own eye, so that then he can see clearly to remove the speck in his brother's eye. So all I will say is this: I know the plank in my own eye, and we gather here on Ash Wednesday looking first for our own impediments. What is it in life that prevents our true love of God and to know and confess persistent sinning that carries us away from God? All I'll say is that I know my falling short, far, far short of the glory of God, and I try to refrain from calling out on anyone else and what their sin is. Only mine is ever before me. Know about past, present, and maybe even future sins that I am prone to. So I need this day and this season of repentance and forgiveness. I know the need to ask God for his forgiveness. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. When we do that, and we do that at every Eucharist, we are not just doing that before God of all, but be sure we are doing it for the sake of all. All creation depends on repentance. It depends on forgiveness. And so it seems, as we move on into this present time with all of its various troubles. So here in this pulpit, I'm searching for your forgiveness. It's very possible, oh yes, it's very possible that I have done or said something that offended the soul of someone here. And in the same vein, you owe the same to towards others and before those who are the angels of God. We are compelled, are we not, to know that sin has tentacles. It offends the law of God. It does mighty damage in God's glorious world. Just this past Sunday, our guest preacher, Father Moore, gave his full report about the decay of Mother Earth. Wasn't that a tremendously difficult unfolding? And he said this: the planet we live on is in trouble, and we have made it very, very troubled. And let me not forget Mr. Putin, the Russian head of state, decides to foist his invasion on a neighbor, the Ukraine. Pray, O Christian world, that he and all of us will use these 40 days to study how we can possibly change that course. They are prayer, I'm sure, in the Orthodox churches. I hope for sure they are telling this head of state clearly that his direction is most definitely sinful. Sin is done willfully, and the consequences abound all around. Little wonder we need to look at the wonderful words of the prophet Joel as it was first read in this service. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Just after our Sunday Eucharist here, Donald and I go to the restaurant down the street called Sotto Voce. There is a waitress there who is from the Ukraine. And I saw her just the other Sunday, crying. She's crying for her family, whom she's in touch with each day. I told her, Lala, that's her name, Lala. Lala, we are all in prayer for you and your country, for all other such people who are suffering these horrible things in a time like ours. Sin has tentacles, as I said. It crosses borders. It leaps over oceans. It affects the soul. So let us stay in our read of the prophet Joel. Such prophets are saying critical things for our time, not only their own time, but our time as well. Joel says, the day of the Lord is great, very terrible. Who can endure it? Our present world is suffused with grave matters. People against each other. Witness the violence against places of worship like our own. Notice the need to say, Black Lives Matter. I always thought I mattered. Now there's a need to say that. When did we give respectful attention to the storied life of the American Indians? Do we truly know about the Lenape tribe? These are the people who used to inhabit the ground on which we stand. And we stand on this ground, taking it for granted. What an intensive Lent we owe ourselves and the world. Pray, friends in Christ here, that we find the Lord's way and not our own. Pray for the balm that heals the sin-sick soul. The balm in Gilead is still very effective. Very effective for all these troubling wounds. One more wound is, as I said, from the preacher we just heard last Sunday, the possible impending doom of this planet. Therefore, do hear these voices in the next portion of Joel. Oh yes, even now, it's not too late, says the Lord. Return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. This is why we come forward today receiving these ashes. It is our fasting, our weeping, our mourning, our rending of the heart, our remembering that we are dust, and unto dust we shall return. I would like to bring attention to a great book that references the Christian journey. We're all on a journey. It is a famous 17th century tome about the life of and in Christ. It is John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Maybe you have read it. If so, you know it is a brilliant allegory. The main character is Christian. Christian is on his long road to Zion, wending and bending up and down the hill and valley of life. The personae dramatis are Christian, a man stricken by a spiritual crisis. Evangelist teaching the gospel, obstinate, whose way is the only way. Pliable, whose role is never sure. Worldly wise, who applies the Socratic method. Formalist, a literary term for fill in the box. And bringing up the end of the line is hypocrisy. We heard about that character in the scriptures. Hypocrisy says one thing and believes another. Poor Christian in his trials and his time of crisis, traveling through the menage of these helpmates. I tell you, he meets another person. Her name is Prudence. Ah, we should all want to come across Prudence. Prudence asks Christian, what is it that makes you so desirous to go on the road to Zion? Hear this, Christian says. Why, there I hope to see him alive, who did hang dead on the cross. And there I hope to be rid of all those things that to this day are in me an annoyance, a hindrance to salvation. I am told there is no death. There I shall dwell with angelic company. And to tell the truth, trying to tell the truth to Prudence, I love him, the one who hung on the cross. He eases me from my burden, and I'm weary of the inward sicknesses that we have. I would fain be where I shall die no more, and with the company that shall continually cry, holy, holy, holy. This unfolding of Christian's journey tells me to put an add-on to remember, O man, thou art dust, to say also, remember the Savior has won the victory over all sin and death, and you will also.